Ed Asner, of course, well known for winning 7 Emmys and 5 Golden Globes, and he served as the national president of the Screen Actors Guild for 2 years. He was the star of Mary Tyler Moore Show, where, of course, he played the lovable, the adorable Lou Grant, and continued that role of Lou Grant on a sitcom. Actually, it wasn't really a sitcom, was it? No. It was kind of funny, but it was really a dramatic series called Lou Grant, where he played the same character in a different setting. And we'll be talking with Lou in just a moment. Ed, I'm sorry.
Oh, shame on you.
I know, I'm sorry. You know why? I'm sitting here studying the papers, and it says Lou Grant on it, so. How are you, Ed?
I'm fine, Mark.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Oh, am I on live?
No, we're on tape.
Oh, okay.
So, well, goodbye.
I would have crawled under the desk.
No, you don't have to do that. It's okay. Now you can stay right where you are.
You should have hollered. I mean, well.
How are you?
Oh.
You doing all right?
Yeah. No, I'm not working enough, but that happens when you get gray hair.
Yeah, well, you know.
What hair you have.
Well, you may not. You're still doing a lot of stuff. I see you're. Didn't you just do a movie with Rob Schneider?
Yeah, that was probably the only thing I did last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, the ageists of America.
But you know, most people in this country are not kids.
Are not what?
They're not children.
No, but unfortunately, the people who cast are.
Well, then it's time for people like yourself to produce your own things.
Well, I tried that too and got shut down. So I merely take a stub and wait for my number to be called.
Well, I'm pleased to tell you, at least from my perspective, I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
And I hate to say that because I very rarely say that during an interview, but I'm a big fan of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and your portrayal of Lou Grant was just an immense character. And I loved Lou Grant, the show, as well.
Thank you.
And your work is just amazing.
Okay, I think we've covered it all. I really don't think there's any more to be said to you.
I think there's plenty more to be said. You know, it's interesting because it was Golden Globe time recently, and I know that you own 5 of them as well as 7 Emmys. Talk a little bit about the Mary Tyler Moore Show and some of the experience you had. It was an incredible cast. You guys did so well together as an ensemble.
Well, it was as happy as we projected it. I think it was about as happy a show, happy a family, and the treatment rendered by producers, directors, writers to the ensemble cast was always par excellence.
Mm.
Yeah, sure. There were petty minor ranklings during the course of the 7 years. Ted and I stopped speaking for a couple of weeks there, but in the main, they were so minor compared to what most shows have.
Yeah, we had Ted on the show a while back, obviously, and just a very warm and nice guy when you get down to know him. And at least he was to us anyway, and unfortunately he's passed away. But
who was that?
Ted Knight.
Oh.
Yeah.
I missed the beginning of what you were saying.
Yeah, no, we had him on the show, and he was a great guy. He spent an hour with us. He was supposed to be on for 10 minutes. And
he's an entertaining son of a bitch. He taught me how to laugh.
Yeah, he was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And he actually even gave me a lecture about marriage at the time. which I thought was interesting.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
What did that consider? I mean, he was a faithful man.
Yes,
so.
He was, and he was talking about that because I was deciding at the time whether I was going to get married or not, and he told me that it's a big step, and you had to really take it seriously and not do this divorce stuff that everybody does, cheating on your wife. You got to stay there and, you know, dedicate yourself to it, and he's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
And did you get married?
Yes, I did. Still
and
married.
And working out well?
Still married.
That's good.
Yeah, so I guess that his advice was good.
Dad's blessing helped.
You know, it's interesting. A whole new generation of people is watching that because of Nick at Night, and that must be kind of interesting to you to see a whole bunch of people who now, a lot of them very young, who watch it with their parents or their grandparents and enjoy it together.
Well, you know, we've gotten about, what is it? This must be the third or fourth generation I've helped raise. It seems like three or four generations because there are those who caught it the first time. Well, there was always the first run. And then there was the second run on Nick at Night. No, there was a whole raft before Nick at Night of reruns.
The local reruns and stuff.
And then Nick at Night created a third raft, and now Nick at Night is creating a fourth raft.
Mm.
So
now, I hate to hesitate to ask this because I think I know the answer. You guys don't actually get paid for these, do you?
Well, if... I don't even know if we're if they have played so much that there is a Screen Actors Guild rule that you always have to get something for a rerun being played, but it is played so many times, the amount of money I'm getting for each rerun is meaningless.
Mm. Exactly.
I mean, no, I do mean meaning. Could be maybe a couple of bucks.
Yeah, well, that's pretty meaningless in the scheme of things. You were actually the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
That's quite a political position.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever thought about politics for yourself?
No, I thought about politics, but certainly rejected it. And being president of the Guild made it very easy for me to forget about it forever.
But you were so active in so many humanitarian things and political organizations and,
well,
and the meet out and things. Why wouldn't you use a pulpit rather than showbiz, but try to get a political one?
Because showbiz is as good a pulpit as you can find. Were I to surrender my activity as an actor, I would then enter the realm first of all, even at the time I was president of the Guild, which is 20 years ago, what could I have run it? A congressman. A congressman would have no more verbal clout than I had at the time.
Hmm.
And I certainly didn't have enough clout as a celebrity to run as senator. So what the hell is there?
Hmm. Well, that's true. I mean, if you're not going to be one of the elite 50, it isn't really worth it too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But so you've kept with the TV thing, and you're doing all these other things. And how did you get involved in the meat out? See, you seem to me like a meat and potatoes kind of guy.
Well, I certainly was raised that way. No, my wife is certainly she's not a vegetarian, but she certainly has weaned me away from meat. And interestingly enough, genetically, my father used to bitch at my mother for giving him meat in the summer, that hot Kansas summer. So I am still a meat eater, but certainly in California, since I've been in California, I've cut down on it a great deal.
I have too, actually, but you have to have some of it, I think.
Yeah, I do have some of it, the other thing that influences me in terms of there are a number of things that influence me in terms of being of going towards the vegetables. The killing process is something that I don't like to think about.
Hmm.
That's one, and two, and even more important, I guess, are the facts and figures on the amount of acreage and grain it takes to grow a cow, and the same protein that be, and the amount of acreage it takes to grow that protein in terms of vegetable,
mm-hmm.
Grain, and how many more people it can feed. It's a meat is a very, very expensive way of keeping people on their on their feet.
Mm.
And Africa is one of the best examples because Africa is not really, in many ways, from what I'm told, suited for cattle. And the many of the tribes there, certainly the Maasai, they count their wealth in terms of cattle. And they go on depredating the land, and it's contributed greatly, I would gather, to the desertification of Africa.
Hmm.
So, because they do destroy the land.
Well, I think that the picture that you described them that hits the people the most, if you think about it. As I mentioned, I enjoy meat. I'm eating much more healthy now than I ever was because of as you get older, you have to do these things. But I think that the picture in our minds, for instance, if you're in a restaurant. And they had a little video of cows being slaughtered as you ordered,
yeah.
or veal, or whatever you were ordering, and you saw right there in front of you pictures of what happened, you wouldn't order it.
That's right.
And I think that that's the thing that's going to be the key in this country. And I think that we've seen a lot of, a lot less people buying furs nowadays. There's more people buying faux furs than regular furs because of the same situation.
Yeah, but there's a big, strong attempt to reinstitute the wearing of furs in this country now. It's good that you mentioned veal because that's something I definitely won't eat. Such a barbaric process. But the whole thing about even chicken, Jesus Christ! The factory farmers. Oh, and that's something else. And it's no longer the family farm or the family ranch. Everything has become a factory. And those factories are poisoning. I mean, when that hurricane hit North Carolina and the pools of droppings from the pig farms that were polluting the land and breaking the dams and flooding the land, and they poison the land just by their very immensity and the concentration of pig offal. And the same thing is true of cattle, both in terms of how they affect the air we breathe and the manure itself. So there are all kinds of ramifications that. And I got to tell you, as much as I love meat, I certainly know when I've had a nice big chunk of meat that I've ingested, and I can feel that sucker sitting in my stomach waiting to be dissolved.
Hmm.
So
that's true. You do feel it for a while, and it slows you down. There's no question about that. We're talking with Ed Asner, and by the way, if you ever want more information about the topic we just discussed, meatout.com on the Internet has all the information on that particular subject. It says that you completed a number of films here, Fanatics, Prep, Perfect Game, and Bring Him Home. Those are now on video or no?
Perfect Game is.
Mm-hmm.
Fanatics, I heard, was going on to video.
Yeah.
Bring Him Home, that was the most recent. And I just finished a film with Rob Schneider called The Animal, which will be out in the theaters in June, I believe.
He's a funny guy.
Oh, so talented. He co-wrote this, and he certainly co-directed it, and he's starring in it. So he's a Renaissance man.
So folks out there who don't remember who Rob Schneider is, he's the guy who was the copy guy on Saturday Night Live years ago.
And his latest triumph was Deuce Bigelow.
Right, exactly. He's a pretty funny guy and a very clever guy.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Sandler gets a lot of the attention, but Rob is just as pretty funny and as clever as well.
Adam also is a producer on this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah. Now, how'd you get the gig on that one?
Well, Rob likes me. So.
Who doesn't like you? If that was the case,
I got a postcard this morning from somebody who doesn't like me. Too bad I didn't keep it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So anonymous or someone we'd know?
No, he was very gracious not to sign his name, even though he called me every name in the book.
Well, you know, you made it when you get fan mail like that.
Oh, of course.
You know, that's the way I look at it.
It's a treasure.
But you've been around for a long time in the business. How did you start? Where are you from, and how did you get into showbiz?
I'm from Kansas City, Kansas. And I loved getting up on stage as a kid every time I was drafted. You didn't volunteer at the time, of course, because you didn't want to be thought of as a sissy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always glad to be chosen whenever it happened, both in Temple or in school. Then got into high school and signed up for a radio course there. And learned how to do, we produced our own little plays on a local radio station. Acting, writing, adapting, sound effects. And I loved it. Loved working with a microphone.
Gets in the blood, doesn't it?
Yeah. Didn't think anything more about it, though. Acting wasn't a respectable way of making a life.
Especially a Jewish boy.
Oh, yeah.
You tell your parents you want to be an actor, they're going, what do you mean actor? Get a job.
Well, my father said when I told him I would be home after I dropped out of school, as soon as I did a play that I had been cast in, and he said, listen, you didn't make it as a student, you're not going to make it as an actor. And he said, now, you know, on the one hand, if you could sing like Eddie Fisher, then maybe you could make it. I said, well, I'll be the judge of that.
Did he live to see you make it?
He saw me on stage playing Rabbi Azrael in the Dybbuk in Chicago.
Hmm.
And he liked me. And, you know, for an old foreign-born father, he didn't make it hard on me.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, you know, Jewish people especially emphasize education over everything else. And if you say, well, I want to quit school and become an actor, you're going to get it.
Oh, sure. Because especially since my two older brothers never went to school after high school. Well, the one brother went to 2 years of junior college, but then the Army got him in World War II. So he never saw college again, and the older one never even considered it. And both my sisters had graduated from college, so I was considered the great hope to be doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief.
Mm.
It didn't turn out that way for me either.
Do you have any children, Ned?
I've got four.
Is one of the ones, is that your daughter who's on E?
No, that's an ex-daughter-in-law.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Because I noticed the name. I said, it got to be a relationship. There's
yeah, something. She kept the name.
Ah, well, it certainly isn't going to hurt.
No.
So, any of your children in showbiz?
I've got a daughter who's a wonderful actress. And to supplement her income, and her husband's a wonderful actor, supplement their income, they have a dog walking business, and they do very nicely.
That's kind of cool.
My son is a producer writer with the Mariah Films, who've won a couple of Academy Awards in the documentary area.
Wow.
And they're connected with the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Hmm.
Here in L.A.
Hmm. So has he gotten you any narrating gigs?
I've done some for him, yeah. He's also just given me my first grandchild.
Ah, there's the best gift you can ever get right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah, he did all right, buddy.
I guess so. Well, Ed, it's a real pleasure talking to you. And again, folks who are interested in the Meetout can go to meetout.com on the net. And do you have a website of your own, Ed?
We've got, what is it, email?
You have email?
Yeah. Our email is a whole bunch of numbers. You want them?
Sure, why not?
The 72726.357@ CompuServe.com.
Well, folks can send you an email and say hi to you if they like.
Yeah, let that be a lesson to you.
Well, Ed, take care of yourself. Be healthy.
Thank you, Mark.
And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Hope to
And enjoy your grandchild.
Thank you very much. I do.
Take care.
I do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.